son. Where'd you find this?
Buckle up, buttercups. It's time to get down to business. It's the Totally Legitimate Business Podcast. Totally legit.
Welcome back to the Totally Legitimate Business Podcast. I'm your host, James. We don't have an intro today, so we're just raw dogging it. Here we are. We're joined once again by Dave. Applause. Yeah. Yeah. Dave, welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you picked this topic for us. Why don't you tell the folks a little bit about the thing that you wanted to talk about?
Sure. Well, you touched on it briefly in a previous episode, but it's always a subject that I've been fascinated by, and it is HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Fairbanks, or well, run up in Alaska in association with University of Alaska Fairbanks, and also formerly the Air Force, the Navy, DARPA, you know, all the fun stuff. But don't worry.
Lots of cool things, yeah.
Don't worry. Nothing nefarious is happening up there.
Definitely not.
No.
There's nothing at all strange about that technology and how it's being used. Not at all.
None whatsoever.
Like, okay, so this is something funny. I had my buddy from Nebraska on the podcast, and we talked about directed energy weapons. And dude, TikTok wouldn't let me post any of those clips. It was like hard no. And it was bullshit because, like, I wasn't even saying the clips that I made. I wasn't even saying the crazy shit. I was just talking about the known things that exist and, like, showing pictures of the things that are actually exist.
Right.
But the internet does not. The algorithms don't like this one. So
no.
This will be real interesting to see if any of the clips from this episode become usable by any means. But here we go.
Yeah.
So Dave, when did you first hear about this, and at what point, I guess, what research have you done here?
I first heard about it probably, I don't know, like 2011, 2012-ish. I forget. I'd have to go back and look what natural disaster happened at the time. I think it was one of the earthquakes that caused like a tsunami or something along those lines. And someone that I knew, you know, much like us, that's into the weird, mentioned HARP and described to me what it was. And I'd never heard of it before. And I was immediately hooked. And ever since then, I've just been kind of keeping an eye on it. As far as research, I looked into, you know, general stuff, kind of, you know, what you always see with things like the Maui fires and whatnot. And I always kind of bring that back around to HARP and things like that. But one of the interesting things I found about research I was doing for this episode is everywhere I went, kind of like what I said up front, everywhere I went, as far as what they say goes on with HARP, it's totally, you know, legit, totally clean. They're telling whatever they were telling us to our face is that's going on up there, and that only. That's what you'll see when you go look up HARP. But if you look into some other stuff, they'll say, oh, yeah, we have the technology to do all that stuff, but we just don't do it here, kind of thing is the main rundown that I get. And also that there are multiple facilities that are like this. There's one in Norway. There's one in Puerto Rico. Oh,
dude, they're all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
They're all over the fucking place.
It's just kind of one of those things one of the things that I found funny about looking into it this time was just, like I said, everything is peachy keen up there. Nothing crazy, nothing weird that's going on, but we do have the technology to do that. Just not there.
Well, for me, it's always the patents.
Like, yes.
You look at the patents and you see what they're trying to do with these patents, and you're like, oh, why would you develop something like a weapon?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? If you don't want to use it like a weapon, why are you developing it like a weapon?
Well, that, and also, too, why is it all you know, the majority of the people involved are branches of the military, you know, the Air Force, the Navy, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, aka DARPA. So why are why do they have their hands in it if it's, you know, if they're just, you know, moving things around?
Well, okay, so there's like, I guess I kind of heard about it around that same time, between 2010 and 2012. And it's not something that like freaked me out, but it was something that amazed me because of all the known shit even then that you could kind of look up about this place. I remember around that same time, somebody sending me like a Popular Mechanics article where they were talking about like trying to dispel the rumors. And it's like, it's just this thing that can, you know, instigate the aurora borealis, and it's used for communications research and blah, 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 blah. And I tried to find that article, but I found a bunch of other hilarious articles from Popular Mechanics that really are just like, they're trying to quell the conspiracy rumors because they were so strong about this place. But the technology that they're using here has a number of different applications. One of them is long-range communications. Another is it's a microwave that with a highly focused beam, and there's a lot of things you can do with that. The aurora borealis portion is pinpointing the ionosphere and heating it and exciting the particles in that portion of the, like a solar flare would, and creating the aurora borealis. That's a known thing. It can for sure do that. That is part of the research that it did. Was the military and DARPA doing a bunch of mundane communications tests? No, they were doing some other shit. They were playing with the more exotic components of this technology, one of which is like, this is a bubble. Earth is a bubble. Earth is a bubble. And if we're adding a ton of heat to even if it's a small portion of the bubble, that's got to be disrupting something. That's not, it's doing something, obviously, because it can instigate the aurora borealis. Like, we know it is in fact interacting with that space, but this is a bubble. Earth is a bubble. There's always going to be like a fucking consequence to any of this manipulating of the natural forces that we don't necessarily have total control over. So there's the whole conspiracy about this kind of being effectively Nikola Tesla's death ray. Nikola Tesla had this idea for a super weapon or a death ray that could, you know, beam electricity insane distances, pinpoint accuracy, and a lot of people like equate this to being, you know, the refined version of the concept of the death ray. But there's a lot of shit that this technology can do. It absolutely can do that. And the reason that we know it can do that is because it was part of the explicitly stated intent. We want to have technology that can do these types of things. And they for sure don't make tools to not use them.
For sure.
They don't spend millions of dollars on shit to not try it out.
Right.
Just saying.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the patents, and the one that's tied to it that comes up a lot was the one by Dr. Bernard Eastland.
Do you by chance have links, or if not, I can look these up?
I did last night on my other computer. Let me see here. I've got a couple tabs pulled up. But yeah,
if you send me the link in the private chat, I'll put it on the screen.
Sure. Let's see here. Do 1987 patent. I want this to get out of here. Okay. That is the patent that I found for Dr. Bernard Eastland.
Okay, let me bring this up here. All right, yeah, so sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. Yeah, basically what it is that, he had a 1987 patent here, and I wrote here titled Method and Apparatus for Altering a Region in the Earth's Atmosphere, Ionosphere, and or Magnetosphere. That's the title of his patent that he, you know, was looking at, and it looks like we got it pulled up here. But, you know, similar to what you were saying, in the patent, it does, you know, go over certain things as altering the weather, long form communication, being able to, you know, jam communication signals and things like that. Everything that, you know, obviously serves some good purpose, but everything that's come up for, you know, conspiracy theories or, you know, this technology being used for ill intent in this patent, which, you know, it's not necessarily for the HARP machine, but it is for something along the same type of machine.
The technology in its infancy, right?
Right. Yeah. He thought of this a long time ago, and kind of like you said, it is in there, and he does state that it does have the technology or the capability of doing, you know, this, and this, and so that's that. And like we were saying, it's kind of interesting when, you know, they will acknowledge that it has this technology, but says that we don't use it at all. One of the things I found funny in my research as well was when, you know, we talk a lot about weather manipulation with this technology. And one of the things I said or saw was someone had said something along the lines of, that's just silly. We don't even have the technology to do that. And why would we do that anyways? And then within 5 or 10 minutes, I was reading an article about how in Dubai they are advancing this technology to create their own rain.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of funny just listening to all the contradictions.
This is, we have this at NASA. It's a cloud machine. Literally makes clouds.
Yeah.
It can make clouds. It can make rain. They just dump a bunch of moisture into the air. Makes rain.
Yeah, cloud seeding and things like that.
Cloud seeding. There's another good one. You know, people used to say that was bullshit, and it's not. We actually can do that. Currently, with the stated technology, cloud seeding, we can't create rain. We can amplify moisture in the air. So if there's a bunch of damp air or clouds with moisture in them, you can put particles into that stimulates the clumping of the moisture and then the falling of rain. And that's a thing that gets widely used. They use it locally, like regionally, and, you know, on much larger scale, like with this NASA shit. But, you know, over crops, famously over the Rose Garden of the 2008 Olympics in China. We have this technology. And there's another rabbit hole, like the patents that exist for whether the actual hard, explicit, we can influence the weather or direct it in this way or that way. There's a ton of research, known documented research, patents for all types of technology regarding terraforming and weather manipulation that by the government. Government spent a lot of money researching this because it's a super fucking valuable, it would be a super fucking valuable advantage to be able to control the weather. Yeah, we don't necessarily, I don't want to get down too far down a different direction. Let's kind of steer more on HARP, though. So continue. I keep interrupting you, Dave.
No, that's fine. I mean, you're touching on a lot of good points, too.
We got this guy's patent, right? Stated that this is what he was trying to do with this technology.
Right. Let's see here. But yeah, it says here, the article that had the link, and it says in this patent, which sets the stage for HARP, Dr. Eastland makes a number of fascinating statements, which clearly contradict the claim that it is only being used for research and not for military purposes or weather control. Yeah, it talks about communication networks. Now, one thing, the way I understood it is watching some videos about it is, you know, it kind of shoots this beam up in the air, but it's highly directed and it can go in a direction of 30 degrees is the way I understood it. And so as far in the old school technology or the way it was described to me is that the way it affects like earthquakes and things like that around the globe is it kind of uses that and it shoots it up into the air and then also bounces it back down and then focuses that energy on certain points like, I don't know, Haiti or wherever they want these disasters to occur.
Yeah, or really anywhere. So there's like the loose thread in Cuba and in Russia, like people at embassies getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thread to suggest maybe those are some directed energy weapons, like a massive weapon like that is just beaming an insane amount of electromagnetic radiation at a specific building. Mm-hmm. And it's making people sick because people's bodies are influenced by electromagnetic radiation. Like our bodies are conductors. Like we're 100% being influenced by electromagnetic radiation. It's we were the fun experiment. Like we're the first real generation to kind of grow up with cell phones and be around cell phones and cell phone towers, but like it's coming. There will be a point in the future where they talk about the negative effects of these things and the abundance of electromagnetic radiation poisoning just by virtue of us being surrounded by it at all times. But we have these devices that can beam insane amounts of energy, pinpoint accuracy. Who's to say they wouldn't use it for that? For sure. Well, if it can, you know, whatever, if it can get a message across the globe faster than a line, like a cable line, okay, great. But if we could also use it for a weapon, we're going to use it for, that's what they do. That's what the military does. They develop things to use as weapons.
Yeah, that's kind of their MO. It's
their whole goddamn business. So
yeah.
Not just for peaceful fucking communications research. Like, don't piss in my mouth and tell me it's lemonade.
Right. Well, and even especially since they've acknowledged, I believe the term they use is like less lethal. Less lethal weapons, I guess you would say, that would be the term, I guess. But for crowd control, how they, will put these. Direct these very low frequencies to people, and some of them it gives them migraines, some of them it just causes people to act in certain ways to disperse crowds and whatnot. And being that the harp runs on ELF and VLF waves as well, doesn't put that out of the realm of possibility for another thing that this is used for.
Yeah, this is hilarious. This is one of the clips that got censored in the last round. We have a thing called an LRAD. And an LRAD can beam intense amounts of sound energy at crowds and like really put the pressure on, make it feel like your head's going to explode, but without there actually being that much noise. We also have similar things, but they're like microwave arrays that you can point at a crowd and it will apparently make your skin feel like it's burning or like becoming irritated and itchy. They're just hitting you with a bunch of microwaves.
Yeah.
And like low level cooking you to make you disperse. Like, but again, this is known technology. I was showing pictures of that technology, like just hard newspaper photography of these things. And they wouldn't let me post those clips because it was misinformation. That's what's interesting about this topic is that it's the one topic that, of all the things we've talked about on this show, and we've talked about a lot of strange shit on this show, this is the one thing that they're really still trying to keep a clamp on. This is kind of a sidetrack, but not really. Have you seen, do you have Netflix, Dave?
Yes.
Have you seen Leave the World Behind?
I don't think so.
It just came out Friday. You have to watch it.
Then no, I haven't.
I'm not going to say anything else. Just you have to watch it. Just watch it. It is relevant to this conversation, and you'll understand why. But we live in an electromagnetic world. Everything that we do, every aspect of our life now is in some way relegated to being controlled by an electronic component. And to think that there are all types of weapons that can conduct invisible warfare of any kind, it's just scary. I'm not, and not even just that we have them, that anyone has that. Like, if we have those types of things, what are we using them for? It's kind of like, I don't know how closely the technology relates to, but that thing, the guy who was talking about the Alaska shit, the neutrino satellite that's like embedded in the ice in Alaska.
Okay.
The fireman, he came forward in the Stephen Greer disclosure. God damn it, I can't remember his name. Anyways, he came forward, he said he was in Antarctica and embedded in the ice in Antarctica is like this similar, like, massive array that can beam energy, and it caused earthquakes and shit. This technology exists, and like we're fucking with the natural principles or the natural qualities of the earth. I don't know. It's real. It's just real, a real dangerous game. We live in a bubble. This is a bubble. This is a very delicate bubble that we live in. And, you know, it's just scary to think that there are people out there like just using these types of things all willy nilly. And I know it's not all willy nilly, but when we started developing nukes, we were just detonating nukes.
Right.
We didn't give a shit. We were just detonating nukes underground, above ground, in the ocean. Didn't matter. We just needed to detonate nukes. We were detonating nukes all over the place. This is a bubble. Okay. We're not affected by these things. This is a fucking bubble that we live in.
Well, and especially this stuff, you know, shooting stuff into the air, you know, because you're right. We are in a bubble. And high above us, you think a lot of that stuff is just gas. And I know one of the things they worked on with testing the nukes and whatnot, or they had to factor in, is the very real possibility that putting things like that far up into the atmosphere and beyond, you could just potentially catch the whole atmosphere on fire. You know, and same with messing, you know, putting these heat with.
Kinda. Yeah, I think the it's not necessarily that the atmosphere would catch on fire, but like we face a very serious and real threat. For the same reasons, us being an electrified society, we face a massive threat from solar flares.
Right. Okay?
Solar flares we have no control over. They just hit us in waves, and they can, now that we are so connected and integrated with technology, a bad solar flare could really fuck some shit up.
Right.
So I understand from like the defense perspective why we would want to be doing research. Like, the reason that we get the aurora borealis in nature is solar winds, radiation from the sun. So if we're able to do that on Earth, then maybe we can control the circumstances and kind of understand how the ionosphere reacts to the bombardment, its actual ticks and triggers, and maybe in some way become better defended, or with that deeper understanding of how that reacts, figuring out some other way to protect us from the dangers of a solar flare. Like, there are always altruistic applications of these things, and there is legitimate research to protect us, to help protect us from like some crazy existential threats. Like, we really don't, if we really break it down, like, for us to live as peacefully as we do in this society, a lot of really terrible shit has to happen. a lot of really violent and terrible shit has to happen all over the world for us to live peaceful existences. So I don't want to assume that everything is sinister, but this shit can fuck shit up invisibly. You can trigger an earthquake invisibly. You can influence weather invisibly. And to think that not only do we have a number of these, but a bunch of countries, and more so our enemies, have these things, and they're all around the globe. And to think that there's some fucking hardliner military motherfuckers who are just willy-nilly pressing the buttons on these things, I don't know. That's the thing that scares me. It's not the power of the technology. You can blow yourself up with gasoline, but you can also put it in your car and drive yourself all over the place.
Right.
It's not the technology that scares me. It's the people who are using the technology that scare me.
This is true. Speaking of defense and military, one of the cool things that I read that about the HAARP and technology like this is when you put it, can add atmosphere and adjust it to certain ways. So, like, for instance, if we knew, let's say, Russia or someone was firing a rocket or a missile towards us, by shooting these beams and these frequencies into the atmosphere, it can add atmosphere, is the term that they were using, and it can create drag and basically certain effects that will throw, you know, the missile or the rocket off course and, you know, disrupt everything and attack that way, which I didn't realize that they had that. But, you know, I thought that was pretty cool that they can, you know, raise and lower stuff like that. And
yeah,
you
know, it was my throw it understanding. Off course. It was my understanding from, I can't even remember what, where I heard this, but I have some pictures pulled up here. I think this is oh my God, really? When did this come out? Oh shit, maybe this was the article, that article that I saw. Okay, so here you go. So here's a 30-second snapshot of an artificial aurora created by HAARP, and it's a little bubble. Mm-hmm. And it was my understanding that as they heated this portion of the ionosphere, which is a upper layer of our atmosphere, is one of the layers before you get to space. Mm-hmm. I think it's the uppermost. It effectively creates a bubble. So I guess when they say more atmosphere, what they mean is, over where they're heating it, you know, here's the sphere of the Earth, and say they're heating like right here, a little bubble kind of boils up right here, creating that. At least I could be completely mistaken, but at least that was my understanding of, again, like somebody who actually was a part of HAARP and explaining like the projects that they do and why they do them. Like the conspiracy lore got so big around this shit, the military dumped out and they handed it over to the university, and now they do open houses.
Right.
They literally let people come in and be like, see, we're not doing anything crazy here right. anymore. And I think that's fucking hilarious that the lore, it's like the Denver airport.
Sure.
The conspiracy is so well known that they have to openly acknowledge it. I don't know. It's just funny. But yeah, I that's what I'm trying to say is, like, yes, I understand some of the shit is for legitimate defense purposes, is for legitimate scientific research. It's for shit that helps us in one way or another, either directly or indirectly. But they're doing other shit with it.
Yeah.
Like, they're definitely not just doing good things.
Right.
That's not what they do. That their business is also doing bad things.
Well, and you mentioned something that I was going to bring up that I thought was strange about how, you know, yes, the government kind of ducked out. I believe the year was 2015, and just kind of turned it over to the University of Alaska. I'm sure they still send people up there occasionally and still do stuff. And it's my understanding, too, that HAARP only, well, obviously due to the harsh winters that they have up in Alaska, it only runs certain parts of the year anyways. But, yeah, I thought it was strange that they have, of course, at least on paper, been out of the project, you know, for
They've moved on, and to be honest with you, like, especially shit that DARPA is involved in, they're out before, like, that. It's like Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point at which nobody talked about Area 51, but now that everyone talks about Area 51, they still do shit out there, but they've moved their operations to other more private bases. It's become too known. It's become too much of a thing. There's too much heat. And, you know, HAARP is the same way. Like, at this point, there's so much heat on HAARP. They've just moved this to the other facilities that we have like this, where we're doing these types of research. Okay. So there's a couple points that I'm trying to make here. And one of them is the real weather modification angle. In the next 10 years, it is going to be not a crazy conversation to suggest maybe we control the weather. Maybe we influence it, and maybe we do that frequently. It's coming.
Sure.
I've seen a bunch of shit, especially dovetailing the conversation of terraforming Mars. But if we just, let me posit this. Where do you think we're going to do the research for terraforming before we get to Mars?
Got to do it here.
We're going to do it here because this is where we are, and we haven't made it to Mars yet, so we can't even see what's going to happen when we get there. But in the next 10 years, it's going to not be a crazy conversation. Even the cloud seeding thing, dude. 10 years ago, I was trying to tell people about this. They said that's bullshit. I would show them legitimate newspaper articles, and they'd be like, "No, that's not real." And now it's like, oh yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, and especially since that's something that they were messing around with even during the Vietnam War,
dude. Yeah, no, for we're gonna come back to that in 1 second. There was an amazing fucking channel on YouTube that I found at one point. They did a really good breakdown of like the true beginnings of weather modification research in like the 1940s. And bro, they had receipts. They had all the documents. I'll see if I can go down that rabbit hole and find them and find that channel and those videos. But they're great again. But yes, definitely as far back as the 70s, definitely further than that. But go ahead and let's talk about the 70s, because this is another really interesting scenario where it's like, they did it. They actually 100% were experimenting with this shit, and they were using it, and it wasn't for fun. They weren't trying to be nice with this shit. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, that was that. And in fact, this, you know, you were talking about, you know, how far back we've been working on this. And let's see here. I did have, I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but last night I was looking over, and there was a document, and I believe it was from 1965, and it was, you know, titled, it was from the National Science Foundation, and it was, titled Weather and Climate Modification Report of the Special Commission on Weather Modification. And this was back in the 60s. And I read through a few pages of it, and they had even gone ahead, you know, what are the biological effects that this has, you know, both on humans and then also, you know, with our ecosystems and things like that. What does the law say about this? What are going to be the societal effects of this? And, you know, so even back in, like I said, 65, they were talking about this stuff, they were looking into it, and they had even, you know, it wasn't just, wouldn't it be cool if we could manipulate the weather? They were looking at it from legal aspects and societal issues and medical effects and things like that it would have on us. And see if I can find it here. you know, but yeah, they were breaking all that stuff down all the way back then.
Yeah, I guess you bring up a good point. When they get to the point where they're discussing the societal impact, they've already done testing.
Right.
Like when they're discussing that, they're using it. They can only glean the research of the impact on society after having tested it. And it's like an unpleasant thought that a lot of Americans don't like to think about. But any citizen of any government, you're the test subject. We get tested on all the time with all sorts of shit. And if they were using this successfully during war, they had tested it. They had been testing it before 1965, or as at least guaranteed as early as 1965. If they're talking about the societal impact then. I mean, when they use it in Vietnam, that's 1967.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they were a couple years ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, they had already contemplated the societal impact, and they were still like, okay, we're okay with that.
Right. Let's see here. I really want to find that.
I don't. Here, but this is the part that pisses me off. Yeah, send it to me in the chat. I'll bring it up here.
Yeah, sure.
This is the part that pisses me off. Is like we can show this to anybody, and like there's still some people who are like, "Nah, this isn't real." It's like, dude, you know, the government was fucking serious. They have been serious about this for a long time. This is an expressed interest, a specific goal they have had in mind, and to think that they're just fucking doing this shit to be nice is just so funny, so naive.
Well, you know, wow. I think that, yeah, look how old this thing is. Yeah, December 20, 1965.
Jesus Christ.
And yeah, you can see here, content summary, scientific possibilities, biological implications, the social effects, the law, needs and opportunities for international cooperation, fiscal and organizational considerations. So yeah, they had thought about all of this before. This, like I said, wasn't just, you know, a random idea that someone thought of at lunch one day. You know what I mean?
No, dude, you're 100% right.
Yeah, just looking at some of these chapters, I guess, if you will, you know, relation to U.S.
foreign policy. Oh, my God. This just makes it that much more fun.
Yeah, international legal problems.
20 years ago, General Electric Company, GE, General Electric Company, scientists Irving Langmuir and Vincent Schaefer modified clouds by seeding them with dry ice pellets. Not long afterward, Bernard Vonnegut, a co-worker, demonstrated that a smoke of silver iodide crystals would accomplish the same result. This was the beginning of the modern American history of weather and climate modification through cloud seeding. The American scientists on November 13, 1946, had verified experimentally the theory advanced in 1933 by the Swedish meteorologist Tor Bergeron and the German physicist Walter Findesen that clouds would precipitate if they contained the right mixture of ice crystals and supercooled water drops. It's just amazing to me that people still won't entertain this. Like, they're just so, they'll entertain the dumbest other shit possible, but you show them actual fucking recorded history of us being able to influence the weather, and it's just like an uncomfortable feeling, I guess, for most people to contemplate that. But this document's great, dude. Good find on this.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about it, and you know,
was this at any point like? Now, I guess this wouldn't have been classified if it was the National Science Foundation.
No, it doesn't appear to be. Like I said, I mean, would you just? I found it just by simply googling HARP weather control, and it was about halfway down the page.
That's amazing.
but you know, it was peppered amongst, you know, when you Google it, everything just, you know, the next one below it is HARP weather control conspiracy is off in the clouds, and yeah, watch out for this conspiracy theory on climate change, you know, and it's just, you know, fact check, earthquake in Turkey was not a HARP, you know, so It's, you know.
Oh yeah. Dude, like, what's funny, Dave, is I have those pulled up.
Oh yeah. See right there.
Popular Mechanics. Okay. So I tried to find, this is what's funny is I tried to find the article where they were Popular Mechanics. Like they do a tour of this place and they're like, here's this cool place that we have. And here's this cool technology that they can do this shit. But then in the last couple years. Okay. So, and this is fucking hilarious. Okay. So, oh, God damn it. Hang on a second. I'll do the search again. 2014, NBC News, conspiracy theories abound as U.S. military closes HAARP. This right here. Oh my God, dude. There's three conspiracy theory articles from Popular Mechanics about HAARP. That's what's fucking hilarious. But here's the funniest part. So they're clearly trying to debunk it. This one's from 2014. I guess HAARP is included in this somewhere. This is a roundup of conspiracy theories. Is it?
Is it the one that's Uncover the Facts and Fictions?
I don't even see that.
Oh, I'm just...
I don't even see it. Okay, so that's silly. But both of these are like, you know, debunking HAARP. It's, you know, it's for legitimate purposes. But then there's an article about China's ionosphere zapping radar, and they call theirs a defense system masquerading as science. And I imagine, I haven't read this article yet, but I imagine what's going to happen is, oh, okay, they do mention it here. The possible military benefits of an ionosphere radar isn't lost on other countries, especially the U.S. The Navy and DARPA ran a similar facility, the HAARP, in Gakona, Alaska, before it was passed to the University of Alaska in 2014. Yeah, it's just hilarious, the propaganda here, how China's shit, now that's a weapon. They're using that.
Right, yeah.
But our government, no. I mean, it could be a weapon, but our government would never use it like that.
Yeah,
it's such exactly. It's such fucking bullshit. But yeah, 100%. This is why it's scary, is because unhinged motherfuckers have access to this shit, and they're using it, and it can do shit invisibly. Invisibly. Mm-hmm. We can't say so-and-so did it. We can't, you know, track the fucking I mean, maybe we do have scanners, satellites that are scanning for the electromagnetic energy on planet Earth. Maybe they can see that spectrum and see where a country might be, like, trying to hit us with a beam or something. But this shit is real. This is real, actual technology. This is real shit.
Yeah.
I want to say the reason that we started building these is because the Russians had something like this before we did in like the 60s or the 50s, like a much older array, and then we were like, fuck that, we need some arrays.
Sure. You're right. If I do remember correctly, Russia had one first, and even of the ones that they have in other places, you know, like I said, there's the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico. There's one in Tromso, Norway.
Ice Cat.
Yeah. But it does say that we have ours is the most powerful of
HAARP.
HAARP, right.
Yeah.
HAARP is the most powerful of the facilities, but these other ones do operate similarly. One of the things that you touched on earlier, but I think would be interesting to bring up, is, you know, the direct energy weapons in relation to this. And I think the HAARP was a great precursor to, you know, to the DEW, directed energy weapons that we have now.
I would venture to say that, like, you know, HAARP was, down the chain of energy weapons.
Like, yeah,
we were trying them out on smaller scale, and HAARP was like the coup de grace. And then since then, we have probably refined this technology to be even smaller and more deployable and equally as powerful, or able to chain network with devices across the globe for combined power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, if they've handed this over to the University of Alaska, they have already determined and refined that technology for the uses that they want it for. If they're
right.
If they're done with it, bro, they've done a bunch of shit.
Yeah, your change is on the dresser. We're through with you.
There's something I do want to touch on here really quickly. This happened a long time ago, and I can never find any videos or pictures of it. But they said it was a failed missile launch. But there was like this massive meeting in Norway of world leaders, and there's a facility there called IceCat, and one night there was a fantastic display in the sky of a spiral that looked like it was opening into a portal. And there used to be a ton of videos. Let's see if we can even okay, good. That's not, we won't be able to hear this because my audio program is fucked, but see if we can just, God, this is so old. That's so funny.
Oh, wow.
This, and like, dude, thousands of people saw this. And again, they said it was a failed missile launch.
Uh-huh.
But so there's an interesting dovetail here, and I'm sure Daniel would love this, where I'm about to go with this, but there's a huge theory here that we have these technologies that can beam intense amounts of energy into the ionosphere and trigger the aurora borealis. And there's the idea that maybe we've refined this technology to not only interact with the ionosphere, but maybe we can project things into the sky. We can control that that beam so much, we can create images in the sky that look like things, like maybe craft.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, biblical shit, angels,
right?
God returning, the sky burning. Maybe we can do this in a serious large scale. There was also kind of the thread too. Let's see if I can pull this video up. In China, there was, can't remember how long ago this was, but yeah, this is it. This is an old video, but there was like right before this earthquake, this massive fucking earthquake, there was this crazy rainbow in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this like thread to suggest maybe before these events occur, there's signals in the sky that something is happening, but is the earthquake the shifting of the plates causing the rainbow, or is the earthquake being caused by something else, like energy being abundantly beamed there, and because there's an abundance of energy, there's a rainbow? Or is the rainbow just from the storm? I don't know. But that there's just like an interesting parallel. But the whole point of me saying all that is there's a thread to suggest that the push for disclosure, the how this is going to get sold to us isn't necessarily reflective of the reality. Like we're probably going to get sold the aliens as a threat, and they're not a threat. And maybe what we'll be seeing in the sky that will be like an attacking alien force is really just a bunch of hologram shit.
Right.
Or especially with like the orbs of light. Like, mm-hmm. what if those aren't orbs of light? Yes, 100%. They're doing shit that ships can't do, because it's not ships. It's literally a hologram.
Right.
It's a tightly condensed, focused energy that is being shown around like a fucking laser pointer.
Right. Yeah.
Not to say that that's true. I'm just saying, like, that is in all of the reading around this topic that I have done, that is a thing that has definitely come up a bunch. And I just find it interesting now because 10 years ago, we weren't as nearly as advanced as we are with the disclosure conversation.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, the hologram idea is definitely something that I've heard people mention a couple times. Not very much, not enough to where I can, you know, really combat what you were saying, but I have heard similar things along those lines. But shoot, even look at, what was it, Coachella? When they had, what was it, Tupac, that a Tupac hologram come out and perform. So, yeah, of course. And that was, gosh, I don't know.
2012.
Yeah, when we both still lived in Tennessee. So
I was there. I was at that Coachella.
Oh, okay, yeah. Coachella.
It was weird. The first weekend, bro, the first weekend, it was sinister. That, like, the crowd was, they didn't like it at all. It made people feel very uneasy. It felt like they were, they had trapped his soul and they were making him play Coachella. That's what it felt like. And the audience there, like, if you watch the videos of the first weekend, it's weird. Uh-huh. The second weekend, people lost their mind. They fucking loved it. But that first weekend, it was weird vibes when Tupac came around.
Well, I'm sure because, well, I think that was, isn't that kind of like the first time that something like that has happened? And
that, yeah, that was like an artist being resurrected at a show.
Uh-huh.
In 3D. Yeah, that I think that was why that was a big deal.
And I think they thought it was going to be or catch on and be a bigger deal than it was, but I think that's kind of the only one I've ever heard of them doing that. I know they talked about doing it with like Michael Jackson and
it's gonna become a bigger deal. Yeah, for sure. Like all the shit that with the writer's strike and 100%, bro, after an artist dies, do you think a record label wouldn't love to have its ghost go on tour for forever and them never have to pay any of the money to the artists and it just all goes into their bank account because they own the likeness and image of that artist? It's coming.
It's kind of well, like coming. The old saying that, you know, I'm worth more dead than I am alive.
Absolutely.
Some of those artists, like you said, like, you know, when who are some of the ones knocking at the door, like, not to put any
Paul McCartney,
Ozzy,
the rest of the Rolling Stones. Yeah, there's a bunch. Kiss, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they just did their final tour. Like, do you think Gene Simmons is not like, how do we get hologram Kiss on tour tomorrow? We're done. The humans are done touring. Now it's only fucking hologram Kiss.
Yeah, let's get the AI to write the songs.
Dude, seriously, who cares?
Or let's get some kids at MTSU to do it for us.
Now that you'll have to feed the kids.
That's true.
AI, you don't have to feed.
That is true. Yeah.
But yeah, this shit is quite a rabbit hole. And I just love that we found those fucking Popular Mechanics articles where they're trying to make it like China's, America's fine, but China having this technology, unacceptable.
Well, and especially. You
know, yes. Them having this technology scares me. But to say that we should be the only ones to have it and that we weren't doing some seedy shit with it.
Yeah. Well, especially when you kind of look back at things, you know, like this, whether it be weapons or ideologies and, you know, things like this, or the way that we go about handling ourselves, it's not all the times, but a lot of times, you know, it's us here in America that starts doing those things, or back in the day it was the Nazis, you know, so we're always kind of the ones spearheading these research projects, I feel like.
Well, you know,
putting them into motion.
We've talked about this a number of times, but there's an argument to be made that the Nazis just continued their research.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't actually lose the war.
When we took all those scientists over here and gave them very comfortable existences, maybe they just continued their research.
Right. Yeah. You know? Well, I wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah. So. We've read enough on that specific subject alone to know that that actually did happen. It was a real thing. And, you know, I it's not coincidental to me that after the war, all of a sudden America gets involved in, like, immediately out of the gate gets involved in, like, MK Ultra shit, weather modification shit,
right?
The concealment of our the reality of our place in this universe, you know, all of those things. I don't know, dude. It's just really funny to me, especially with the weather modification conversation. We have these technologies. It was an explicit purpose of the military to utilize these technologies for that purpose. And they handed it over to the University of Alaska. They understand this technology. They understand it so well, they gave away the most powerful facility in the world to the University of Alaska. They understand it, and they're using it. Maybe some of it is there to help us, but definitely some of it is there to harm some people.
Sure. It's
just, you know.
And when you look at some of these, you know, antennas, you know, if you pull up HARP and look at some of the antennas, you know, they look a lot like, for instance, I was in a neighborhood not too long ago, and they were putting up a brand new telephone pole. And of course, they didn't have like the big, like 4-point stretched out prong things. But there was a lot. I remember it like I kind of had to pause and look at it because I was like, what in the heck are they putting up here? What is this? I knew it was some kind of antenna or phone pole or something like that they were putting up. But it has a few of the things on that telephone pole that you would see similar to the ones at HARP. You know what I mean? It wasn't just your regular run-of-the-mill telephone pole. It had, you know, like these cylindrical things that they have in threes around it that are kind of like, I don't know, like, you know, like a foot and a half, 2 feet tall and kind of cylindrical. And if
like
you
these
look
things up here.
Yeah. Like they come in threes. Well, and
this is like a known thing, dude,
with the five.
Yeah, there are so many hidden antennas around. I mean, New York, it's crazy. They've had to get so creative with, you know, hiding all the antennas and shit around here. But like even elsewhere in the country, there are trees. They disguise them as trees now. But like we're surrounded by antennas pumping out intense amounts of electromagnetic energy. To think that we're not, our bodies aren't physically influenced by that in some ways is fucking silly. Maybe it might not necessarily be nefarious. And again, we were the experiment, but the shit is, it's, you know, for me, I look at things like the level of mental disturbance in this country, and I can't help to think that maybe there's some kind of correlation. Maybe, but you know, we're low level being cooked on the inside, and our general level of dis-ease and unrest is just getting higher and higher, and there's no escape from it. Because as long as you want to remain connected to society, you have to fucking be swimming in the bath of electromagnetic energy. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily keep me up at night. But this is definitely a real thing.
Yeah,
it's this technology is real. It's being used for real, and to what extent, maybe we'll never know. But it's getting used. They didn't make this shit for nothing.
Yeah, and then hand it off to you know, University of
the
Alaska.
University of Alaska. They didn't. That's that again. Clear indicator. They've mastered this. They've gleaned whatever information they need, and they have moved on to something better and more powerful, which is
right.
And a whole other horrifying thought, but
yeah, kind of makes you wonder what and where that is.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
I'm sure. Yep. I think, it's just also worth mentioning, the go-to book on this subject is a book by Nick Begich. It's called Angels Don't Play This Harp. This is OG shit. This guy was the first guy talking about it a long time ago. People call it really conspiracy theory-ish and kooky, and it very well may be, but he does actually have some fucking science, and he sifted through the patents and is just basically saying, look, this is what they're saying they're going to use this technology for. They're saying this. I'm not saying that they're using it. They are saying this is what they're going to use this technology for, and this is why it should alarm you. But, you know, no one wants to listen. He published that in 1995. And think about that. Like, they were building this shit in 1995. You and I didn't hear about it until, like, 2010, 2012.
Right. Yeah, let's see here. The research started in 1990, and they started construction in 1993.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so it was already underway.
Now, the guy that wrote this book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, isn't that the guy that his dad was a senator or something like that and died under mysterious circumstances?
Yep. Nick, okay. Nick Begich, that was his dad.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So, also another thing to take into consideration when, you know, reading what he has to say about it as well, and the other side of that, why certain people may be trying to discredit him and what he's found in this book and everything like that. So, yeah, that's it. Son of U.S. Representative. So, yeah. Interesting stuff, for sure.
It's super, super strange. Well, dude, thank you for coming on and talking about this hilarious subject. Hopefully we can get some uncensored clips from this shit. I don't know what we're going to do next time. We'll talk about it afterward here. Thank you for watching the Totally Legitimate Business Podcast. I'm your host, James. This has been your guest, Dave. And we will see you on the next one, folks. Have a wonderful night. See ya, bub.
See ya.
All right, stay on.
This has been the Totally Legitimate Business Podcast. The end. With your host, James Oliva. Who? Executive producers, Clint G and James Oliva. That's obnoxious. Sound design, mix, and master by James Oliva. Literally no one cares. For more Totally Legitimate Business, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Totally Legitimate Business or add us on TikTok at TLB Pod. When will this end? Thank you for listening. Now get back to work. Move it along, buddy.